Is it time to begin the world over again? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Hello out there, everybody. I'm glad to be here in the studio tonight. I didn't know we got to do this start over thing.
I think a lot of people would think that it's really a great idea if we had a do-over, especially of the 2008 election. But oftentimes, it's a do-over in politics, regardless of what time period you're talking about, regardless of who's the president, because, well, Chuck, as I know you and I have talked about, and we talk about with our classes instituted on the Constitution, there's really a difficulty in being able to figure out between the two major parties which one is doing less damage to our liberties and our constitutional form of government. Maybe it is time for a do-over. Maybe it's time that we rethink how we've been doing presidential politics. Because as we've heard from many of the news reports, and obviously when the media talks about it, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, Mitt Romney is going to be the nominee for the Republican Party in the 2012 election. And of course, sitting President Barack Obama looks like a fairly good shoe-in to keep his party's nomination going into the fall.
Yeah, I think so.
I would think that that's the case, yep. Unless actually one of the young ladies at Cartagena were actually put into one of his rooms that he was going to be staying in. I don't think you're going to see him getting kicked out of office anytime soon.
Well, apparently there's now an issue. We weren't going to go into this, but apparently one of these girls may have been working for Russia.
Well, that doesn't surprise me in the least bit, and just shows you the ineptitude of much of America's security and intelligence community. To have Secret Service agents who go down there 2 weeks ahead of time into a foreign country, basically, in order to do a job, to be the advance men or the clearing men for when the president comes in for a visit, and not expect them to sample some of the, shall we say, more exotic plates that you can have in a foreign country, that's begging for trouble.
Well, absolutely. You know, this question, though, that you brought up, which side is doing more damage, I kind of laugh about this. This sounds like two exterminators debating which insect does more damage. Is the termite do more damage or the carpenter ant? They're both eating your house.
That's right. It's just a question of how fast they're chewing.
Yeah, exactly. And which one's going to bring it down around your ears faster? The answer is they seem to be eating at the same rate. They're just eating in different spots. And that is the difference between termites and carpenter ants.
Mm-hmm.
They eat in different places.
Well, you know what, Chuck? We're not the only ones who've been doing a little, shall we say, inspection of the foundation and finding that there are a few holes in it, a few places where you can drive a screwdriver through a 2x4. Also, actually, writing in Forbes magazine this week is somebody who I've actually had the opportunity to meet once and have read a number of his works, a gentleman by the name of Doug Bandow, who's a thinker, a believer, who writes and is a regular contributor to Forbes magazine. And he wrote an op-ed piece in Forbes on their online edition on the 23rd. And he titled it, "Democrats and Republicans Together Assault Our Liberty." And I think he's really hit something here, Charles, because he basically says that the GOP has apparently has decided Mitt Romney is the answer. Unfortunately, that means the question must be pretty dumb. And so he goes to talk about how there's really not, when it comes to the protection of our constitutional republic, when it comes to limiting the power and scope and reach of government, and when it comes to honoring the checks and balances and the limited parameters and the enumerated powers that have been given to our government by our founders in the Constitution, you're not going to find a big advocate for any of that in either Mitt Romney or Barack Obama.
Well, the only presidential candidate who really has made any noises in that direction is Ron Paul. And what did Ron Paul get for his efforts? What's very interesting is the forces, the quote-unquote conservatives, who wouldn't know the Constitution if they were choking on it, basically called him a leftist. And they based that on foreign policy. So it's very interesting. Now, again, this is one of those things that you and I are trying to remedy a dozen or so people at a time by teaching the Constitution. But the fact is, one of the major problems we have out there is constitutional illiteracy, and it pervades every area of life, including politicians who basically don't know the first thing about the Constitution.
They know the first thing about the Constitution, which is that the people, not the politicians, are the ones who have the final say, or should have, according to our founders.
Right, exactly. But it's interesting that Bandow, and by the way, I was beginning to wonder when I read that thing that Mitt Romney is the answer, then the question's pretty dumb. I was beginning to think either you or I were ghostwriting under the name Doug Bandow. That sounds like some of the banter we've had back and forth.
Well, I think you kind of write like him, and I, according, looking at his picture on Forbes, I'm starting to kind of look like him. My beard's getting a little gray, and I'm starting to, that widow's peak is starting to be widow and orphan's peak on top of my head. So.
I was saying, mine's starting to be widow's cove.
Widow's cove, that's right. But anyhow, Bandow really gets into something in here in his article. And it's something that folks who've listened to this program know that we've said over and over and over again. And he said that basically that what we have now for a government is what is a Leviathan. You know, he references back to Thomas Hobbes' book, Leviathan. And he says that exercises its power. Leviathan, which now exercises its power around the globe, has far outstripped its intended role. The so-called anti-federalists who opposed the Constitution were proved right. The government created would eventually slip its constitutional fetters. Indeed, today, Bandow goes on, the Constitution has virtually no relevance to federal operations. And it's what, when we teach Institute on the Constitution, here's a little snippet for you folks. In the first week, you read an article, another article by another thinker by the name of Joe Sobrin, who basically says our current form of government is not threatened by the Constitution.
Well, isn't that the truth? I always laugh about that when I hear it. Because Joe Sobrin, the late Joe Sobrin, was so clever in the way he wrote that kind of stuff. He turned a phrase like nobody. Now, Barry, the fact is that one of the things I always encourage people to do, other Constitution courses will encourage people to go out and read the Federalist Papers.
Right.
But I always tell people, you have to read the Anti-Federalists. You must read, for instance, Brutus. You must read The Federal Farmer. You must read An Old Whig. These people were absolutely prescient. They foresaw the Constitution slipping its fetters and becoming the exact government we see today, and they were saying this in 1787, 88, and 89. And they directly foresaw the things that were going to happen. Brutus, especially, as regards the courts. He saw the courts becoming the power by which the states would completely be stripped of their sovereignty, and he has been absolutely correct in that.
Absolutely.
And so that's essentially part of what Bandow is talking about in this article. He talks in terms of basically the last hurrah. He says that indeed today the Constitution has virtually no relevance to federal operations. Presidents and Congresses do what they want with nary a nod to the national government's legal charter. The court challenge to Obamacare may be the last gasp of those seeking to preserve the original design of limited enumerated powers.
Yeah, and that is something that we have, I've chatted with the class that we're teaching right now on IOTC, and that is we can't guarantee that the United States Supreme Court is going to come up with the right answer because they started off by not asking the right question. You see, they made an assumption that because Congress had passed an act and put it into the Federal Register that it therefore became a law that was part of the body of true law in our country. And we all know, if you've listened to this program, you know the only true laws in this country are the ones that A, the Congress has the authority, which is vested by Article 1, Section 8, in order for them to have the power to actually address that issue, and B, ones that are made in pursuance thereof to this Constitution, the Constitution of the United States. Those are the only laws of the United States that we have. Everything else is a false letter. Everything else, including Obamacare, is unconstitutional on the face of it. And so instead of asking about the individual mandate and talking about mandating people eating broccoli and Brussels sprouts, which God bless Justice Antonin Scalia, but I'm sorry, that's a diversion. The true question is, did Congress have the authority under our charter, under the Constitution, in order to pass this legislation? And the answer, Chuck, obviously, is it's not in there. You can't find it anywhere.
No, it's not in there. You can't find it in an umbra or a penumbra.
Or in, as Oliver Wendell Holmes said in Missouri versus Holland case in 1920, that it's the invisible radiation from those words. You can't even find it there.
Yeah, exactly. You can't. It's not there. The closest you can get is to completely pervert the meaning of the general welfare And that simply does not work.
Which is a horrible indictment. If you think about this, ladies and gentlemen, it's a horrible indictment against both parties, because instead of taking this opportunity to actually educate the public and to prove themselves true statesmen, Republican leadership, led by Mitch McConnell and John Boehner, are, instead of challenging Obamacare as totally unconstitutional and that there's no authority for them to pass it, are saying, no, we don't like Obamacare, but we have the Republican health care plan. And, you know, that's what Bandel gets into here, Chuck, in his article. He basically says that over the last half century, the rise of America's welfare and warfare state has been inexorable and bipartisan. Although politicians on both sides of the aisle like to pose as defender of constitutional liberties, and if I remember correctly, I believe members of both parties went up and read the Constitution out loud from the well of the House at the beginning of the session last January. Then he goes on, he says, leaders of both parties have consistently supported more expansive government. And again, I point out House Speaker John Boehner and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who both have come out and said, well, we just want the Republican version of federalized health care, not the Democrat version. They don't get it, Chuck. Well, actually, they do get it, that if they actually start adhering to the Constitution, they lose power, and government stops expanding, and they can't use these type of things, whether it be pork barrel spending or entitlements or the threats of cuts that they never actually make, in order to hold on and expand their power base.
Yeah, exactly. What's interesting about this is that Bandel shows his libertarian colors a little bit in sections, but if you read it the way I think he's writing, he's talking more about federalism. In other words, that the states retain sovereignty over these issues. For instance, he says, for Republicans, only a few human vices should not be fixed by the national government, like smoking. But Uncle Sam should crusade against other drugs, battle the scourge of pornography, and make us all moral. Moreover, government is supposed to enrich business and other favored interest groups, only those which contributed to the GOP instead of the Democratic Party.
And he sharpens his axe against the Democrats, too. He says, only in one area does the Democratic Party seemingly believe in freedom. The freedom to have sex. People can be prohibited from smoking, making contracts, and speaking incorrectly. Their money can be seized and wasted for the most bizarre and ludicrous purposes. People can be conscripted and forced to kill. However, Americans must be allowed to have sex, preferably with publicly subsidized contraceptives. That is, for Democrats, the essence of a free society.
Yeah.
So he's pointing out the foibles of both major parties, that although they pay lip service to liberty and constitutionality, they care not one whit for either one.
And that's exactly correct. And unfortunately, I would say that Bandel is absolutely correct, but because he has sort of crossed over the line and said bad things about Republicans, then he will be labeled a liberal by knee jerks who basically don't understand the fact that Republicans really, really don't stand for constitutionality. They stand for all power to the GOP. And what they stand for also is corporate welfare, while the Democratic Party stands for individual welfare. This is the major problem, Barry. We're talking about who we're going to give away taxpayer money to.
That's right.
And who we're going to make free and who we're going to make slave. And the fact is, we all end up slaves.
That's right. And the problem is that as slaves, we're just basically changing who's holding the whip over us. Because he points out in this article, okay, on what issues do Obama and Romney actually disagree? President Barack Obama is a big spender. Well, Mitt Romney was a middling big spender. He said that he fits well within the GOP tradition. George W. Bush was a true big spender, increasing outlays on virtually every program, creating the largest expansion of the welfare state in four decades, implementing massive bailouts of Wall Street's banks and industries, wasting cash on an ineffective stimulus program, and squandering a surplus, which had been projected to run into the trillions over the following decades. He says, although Romney talks about cutting spending, he backed the 2008 financial bailouts, defends the Ponzi Social Security scheme, and refuses to identify meaningful cuts in the $3.6 trillion federal budget. And he points out Romney Care was the forerunner of Obamacare. So on healthcare issues, they're virtually identical. On other things, and you know, you pointed out the Bandel's libertarian streak in this about foreign wars. He goes on to that, but what he really gets down to, he says there's only one thing clear about the 2012 race. Neither President Obama nor former Governor Romney can be trusted with Americans' liberties. Both are likely to be big spenders bent on promiscuous and dangerous war-making abroad.
And with that, unfortunately, Barry, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We're out of time.
Well, I know, and that's the reason why he closes by saying, Americans have the power to begin the world over again. Now would be a good time for them to renew their political system. In other words, it's time for us to take charge and not just take what's handed to us by the two major parties.
And I think we're going to look at maybe a little attempt at a rebuttal to this tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
So be with us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.